Quel'Thalas shines once again.
Hey there.
Hello.
Hi there.
Greetings.
For the good of all.
Thrumkar.
Hi there.
Our destiny awaits.
Hey.
Hello.
How are you?
Greetings.
Hello, and welcome to Control Alt WoW, the podcast for those of us who love World of Warcraft and love making many alts. Today is Sunday, September 9th, 2007. This is episode 37, entitled Casual Play versus Hardcore. And today we have... And I'm Aprilian.
And I'm not Glantha.
Yes, Glantha is out of town. And so we have Asheo here with us today. And we're going to be talking about different game styles versus hardcore and casual playing. But let's get started with our normal segment on what we've been doing this week. And do we want to mention that this is our second go-around? We had a...
Take two.
We had a little technical problem. We were going along almost, what, a half an hour into the show?
Yep.
And I crashed, so... And we didn't save. So we're going to try to...
All I could hear down the microphone, down the headphone was, oh no!
So hopefully we can recapture the spirit, because I thought it was pretty good. So let's get back into it. So what have you been doing this week, Asheo?
Okay, well, as you know, I've got Jekyll and Hyde, Jekyll the Druid and Hyde the Hunter. And they pretty much, you know, go around in a pair most of the time. And Jekyll has been Restoration Druid. He's been Feral, rather. And I've respect him to Resto because he was hardly ever getting into actual battles. And
Feral
and
is better for fighting and soloing?
A Feral Druid, not a really great healer. And so I was running out of mana too quickly. You know, in the instances that I was doing, I was really in there as a healer. And so even though I've leveled a druid resto balance before and wanted to give Feral a go, it just wasn't working out. So I've respect him away from Feral. And I got to try that out in Stromguard last week. Went in there with another guildy, Albino Bull. He's a mighty fine warrior in the guild. And Jekyll was healing, and it was so much easier. He had mana; it was good. He could heal, and we knocked over all the group quests in Stromguard. Got that out of the way. And I've been spending time on Asheo, obviously. Even though Asheo is exalted with the Nether Wing and has a Nether Drake, and with Ogrelar and the Shari, I think it is Shari Skyguard. She still does some of the daily quests because they're fun and they make good money. You're talking about 12 gold a quest, and those bombing runs can be as quick as 2 minutes. It's hard money to walk past.
Asheo is your level 70 warlock.
That's right. She's my one and only 70 horde toon. She's affliction. Has been affliction since level 1, as whenever you start getting talent points, level 10. Now, I keep meaning to switch to demonology and give that a try, but I just enjoy the affliction. I look at the affliction tree and look at all the things I'd have to give up to get myself a Felguard, and I might try it one day, but I'm enjoying playing affliction.
And so you're mainly with your Voidwalker?
The Voidwalker, yep. The Voidwalker is a pretty good pet. He's a reasonably good tanker, so basically I just, even easy mobs you fight two or three regular mobs without any trouble, and even elites, dot them up, send in your Voidwalker, takes aggro and a health funnel on the Voidwalker to heal him up, the warlocks dare I say it, nerf warlocks.
Yeah, that's all you hear on the forums.
It's certainly the easiest character that I've leveled.
Well, you know, they always
none of my other characters. I could have. There's no way I could have taken on, you know, 3 or 4 mobs and without raising much of a sweat.
They always say that the hunter is the easy button, but you don't have to feed your pet.
That's right.
Your warlock.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about it running away because you forgot to feed it. So do you ever bring up the succubus? When was the last time you had your succubus?
Rarely. In an instance. But about the only time I bring out this succubus is if I'm in an instance and we need it for crowd control.
It's kind of cute when she does that seducing thing and those little hearts go over the mob's head. and while she's doing that, she's usually, examining her fingernails and standing there looking cute. Yeah, they got some good animations with the succubus.
Yeah, I think a lot of people just like to have her out because of the novelty value. But really, void walker all the way when you're soloing.
Have you ever had a Felguard?
No. I'd have to respect to demonology for that.
Yeah.
I'll do it one day when I'm bored, but I've never got bored yet, so.
On the PTR realm, I got a pre-made warlock that had a Felguard. And, I mean, you know, when you're... If you've never done 70 and you think it's cute to get on the PTR and do a pre-made 70, it's just a waste of time because I had no idea what I was doing. And I found I was dying at 70, and you think, oh, once you get to 70, nothing's going to be able to kill you. But, you know, unless you know how to play your character, that's not going to be the case.
No, that's right. It's even a 70. It's the end, the high end zones. You know, the mobs are 68, 69. You get 3 or 4 of those on you, and if you don't know what you're doing, you're dead.
Yeah.
What else have I been doing? I've got an alt priest that I've been leveling up. A Sheol. She's was in her teens, and Shay has been taking her through Wailing Caverns. I'm sure Blizzard got it in for me, as you well know. So I was taking my rogue alt through Dead Mines, trying to get the Defy chest piece. All I'd get time and time again was that stupid cloth vest. I think I dropped about 14 times in a row. And, of course, my rogue wanted leather. And now that I'm running through Wailing Caverns with a clothy, all I'm getting is shields and leather and mail and... I'm sure there's got to be the loot tables. There's something in there that says, if you're going in there with trying to get a particular type of gear, then that's not what's going to drop.
Right. Yeah. Or if a Shale was running, give her the opposite.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the only reason I got the Defias chest piece in Dead Mines was because you cleared it with a hunter.
Yeah, with real fire. I don't know if that has something to do with it, but
no, then,
of course, because now
I've,
with
I've
Wailing Caverns,
so
yeah, so now with Wailing Caverns, you're a clothy. You should be getting clothy. I guess there was a theory that whomever was leading the group would determine the chances of the item that dropping would be compatible, but obviously that's not.
I just get this feeling that, you know, Blizzard have got, you know, something that's coded in that says, hey, look, you know, here's a level 70 and they're killing everything. And what's tagging behind? Oh, it's a clothy. Okay. Well, everything but cloth is going to drop. You know? or it's a rogue. Okay. Well, everything but leather is going to drop. the chance of it's, you know, greatly reduced. So.
Yeah.
Or I'm just very unlucky.
Right. Yeah, because it's all got to be random.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure about that. But anyway, I got a Sheol to level 20 last night, and she's a tailor, so she skilled up in artisan tailoring. So I got plenty of skill points to spend at the or to, you know, to work on for the fair next weekend.
Oh, yeah, our guild, a Sheol is in the same guild, as Alea Iacta Est. How do you say that?
That's close enough.
Yeah. It's just easier. It's easier to say AIE. But Toshika, one of the guildmates, has organized a fair, a crafting fair, and we're all going to get together around 9 p.m. server time, And in this last couple of this week and last week, we're going to be gathering stuff. For instance, I'm in charge of enchanting, so I've been getting a lot of green stuff from different people and from taking. And I'm going to be DEing somewhere in Ogrimmar and near a trainer, and there'll be people in other places. And it's just a way to get people to get together and level up stuff. I'm actually thinking about taking one of my upper characters and, making a new craft, maybe even enchanting.
Okay, yeah.
Have you done enchanting?
Well, my twink rogues and enchanters. Up to 300. I haven't done any Burning Crusade enchanting.
Asheo is what?
She's a farm bot. Asheo does mining and herbalism. As you've said in the past, it's you really want a high level character that can collect all that ore and herbs and pass them down to your old characters that alchemy and jewel crafting and whatever else you're doing.
Now, Hyde's a level 300 alchemist, right? Have you used only Asheo herbs?
Oh no,
have you
gotten
them off the
auction house? No, Hyde is a herbalist, alchemist.
Okay.
So he's collected quite a lot of herbs himself.
Oh, have you brought any off the auction house?
No.
Oh, okay.
But obviously to get him up to 300, and I've only done that in the last week or so as well, to get him up to 300, I tried taking him to, because he's just hit 40 last week, I tried taking him into Hinterlands to get Sungrass to make some potions to level up, but... He was just drawing too much aggro. So in the end, I just got a show. I went through and got a couple of stacks of Sungrass. So he's up to 300 alchemy now. I basically did that so he can start transmuting arcane crystals. So I'll transmute an arcane crystal every day this week. And by the fair, I'll be able to change those for any guildies that have crystals that want an arcanite bar.
Great. We're going to pause here just for 1 second, and we'll be right back. Okay, so now we're back. And so what else have you been doing?
Oh, well, more farming with Asheo. One of our guildies was trying to level enchanting and needed some nightmare vine for making wizard oil. And that's only found in Shadowmoon Valley.
That's an outland?
So, yeah. Yeah, it's one of the high end zones in the Outlands. Being a show being a herbalist and level 70, it's so much easier to farm stuff when you've got a flying mount. You just literally drop down on a node and farm it. You don't have to fight your way to ore or to the herds. You just drop down, land, if you draw aggro, kill something, take off if you pull too many or kill the one you did draw aggro on, and it's so much quicker.
I love Asheo's flying mount. I've seen her in Shatrath, and she is absolutely awesome. I did want to mention, I don't know if I read your email, but we had talked about when I was on the PTR and I had a level 70 warlock and a flying mount. I couldn't figure out how to fly. It turns out you just hit the space bar and you go right up.
I laughed so hard when you said that I was jumping off ledges, so I couldn't figure out how to take off.
It worked.
You jump. You jump all the time in the game. Space bar.
And it sounds, and now that you, once you mentioned it, it seems so obvious that that's how you fly. Now, did you get something that told you that, or you just did that instinctively? I mean, I know you get flying, you pay for flying lessons, but, I mean, training.
Yeah, no, the trainer didn't say to me, hey, by the way, hit the space bar, no.
Or here's the user manual, because, of course, we don't need another user manual. Some of the quests, like that pylon quest in Angora,
mm-hmm.
You get
Angora,
a manual.
Yep.
I was wondering, what happens if you get rid of the manual? Can you no longer go...
No, you can get rid of all those.
Counting up your up your inventory. But I love her mount. It's another winged drake, and it's
yep.
And it's
and I got
dark
the
purple
onyx.
On
yeah,
it.
It's a dark purple one.
Yeah.
So she looks like a basically she looks like a shadow priest. So that dark evil looking color.
So and what else? This was the one I was most shocked about. I can't feign the shocking in this in the redoing of this. But Asheo
confessed. You thought I just came along to Earthen Ring as a level one nothing and with no pass at all, didn't you? Yes,
yeah.
I have Alliance.
An Alliance Night Elf Priest on Dune Maw.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. She's nearly 68.
And she bounces.
She bounces, yes.
So
but only if she's standing still. She's only if you're standing still. I mean, otherwise, you know, if you're fighting stuff, she doesn't bounce. But if you're standing around, she's just like, come on,
no,
come on, let's go and
like
kill a horde. Let's go and kill a horde.
I always think they have to go to the bathroom.
Well, it looks to me like an impatient, let's go kill something.
Yeah, bouncy. So have you taken her in high-end instances and done a lot of healing? I mean, I love the thought of healing. I think healing is great. I think being a priest is great. But it just seems so complicated when you're, like, in an instance. Maybe out just questing, it's not that bad, but...
Yeah, well, you only really heal yourself when you're questing, but... My priest on Dune Maw is in a raiding guild. She did a lot of pre-Burning Crusades raiding as a healer. And healing is challenging. It's different to melee classes. I mean, a lot of people don't like it because basically all you're looking at is pre-Burning Crusades. You've got this big box up on your screen with 40 people in it, and you're trying to keep them all alive. Well, there's a lot more to it than that.
Right, and you probably have more than one priest in those instances.
Oh yeah.
she's a shadow priest though.
Well, she is now. I mean, pre-Burning Crusades, she was a holy priest. Burning Crusades came out. I was actually away when Burning Crusades came out, so I got back a couple of weeks after it had come out and logged into my shadow, into my priest back on the Alliance realm, and basically most of my abilities were almost 70 already. I was like, oh no.
Remember me?
Well, it's kind of a combination of that and...
didn't you have to respect or something? Or was the priest one of those? I know when there were some people, some characters, when Burning Crusade came out, that everything was done over. Or was that right before it? Do you remember? Like, I know all my hunters' talent points were given back, and I had to reassign.
I don't remember the timeline for that. I don't think there was any, actually, when Burning Crusades came out. Maybe Druids was the last one before Burning Crusades. Don't quote me on that.
Oh, yeah, the last major patch.
I say that because my Alliance Druid has spent 0 points because she's a 70, a level 60 Night Elf Druid, and I basically haven't played her at all since Burning Crusades came out. I went to respec and stared at the tree and went, too many other things to do.
Right, don't have a couple of hours to waste on that one. But this Night Elf in Dune Maw is on a PvP server, and she's 67, so that means she spends a lot of time ganking Horde and Crossroads.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, she's leveled all the way from 60 to 67 at the Crossroads.
Well, that's where you guys like to go and
oh, rubbish.
And knock out low level. So what fun. Let's go kill her.
That's the 11 and 12-year-old Alliance.
Oh.
There are actually mature-age Alliance people to play, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah. My Alliance Guild is all adults. There might be a couple of younger ones in there, but... yeah, believe it or not, there are actually mature age Alliance guilds.
You know, I mean...
And we don't spend all our time at Crossroads.
And I just want to say that I'm not really anti-Alliance. I just never played Alliance, and it kind of... funny that, and I've mentioned this before, how you build up this kind of solidarity with one faction or another. But that just goes to show you the details that Blizz has gone through to make this game so unique that you can actually play for a couple of years on one side. And I suppose, you know, if I ever decide to go over to the Alliance, Luke, you are my son. I mean, the Alliance. It will be like a whole new game for me, you know? I mean, I felt kind of silly when we were running through dead mines and it was such a low-level instance, but I knew nothing about it, and you obviously knew it the way I know Wailing Caverns.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm the same on Horde. Yeah, I've only really played the Horde since the AIE Guild started up. So, you know, I did Wailing Caverns and one of the Razor Fen instances, you know, once, yeah, a couple of years ago. But, I really knew nothing about them at all.
So, and we're going to pause again. I keep pausing, by the way, because I can't save while I'm recording, and I'm not going to lose all this again. So, we'll be right back. Okay, so I know we're taking a long time on this rundown, but I think it's interesting to share with people what we've been doing, and then they can compare what they've been doing. Aprillian, and I have to get with you about what Aprillian's doing, because she gave up, I think she was doing something else, maybe skinning or something, but now she's a herbalist, and she's gotten to 180, and she's in Stone Rock Retreat right now. She went down to the Tarred Valley, did a couple of those quests down there. Now she's running out of places to go. And I had taken her into Alterac Valley because I saw some herbs there, but she wasn't high enough to do Winter's Bite. So what did you do for the in-between?
Oh, gosh.
I know it's hard.
Yeah,
to remember.
I mean, I don't remember specifically, and it is harder when you've been dual boxing, like you've been doing with Aprillian and Ardrion, and I've been doing with Jekyll and Hyde, because you're working through quests, and you're only getting half experience points. You know, you're sharing the experience points from all the kills. You level a lot slower, so. And because you've done all these quests so many times, you tend to avoid the grinding quests you know, oh God, you know, I need 12 of these, you know, heads.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to kill about 3,000 of these dudes before I get them, so I'll avoid that quest. And so you end up, you know, running out of quests in an area and having to move on. And, you know, that's where, you know, Blizzard have got a really fine balance of experience points you get and quests available in area that match up with, you know, the where you're expected to be in herbalism or mining and what you need to actually mine that or, you know,
so when you restart one,
in that area.
Yeah. So when you restart, it's a little bit harder.
That's right.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm not, it's funny because I'm not very big into the fast leveling, and as you know, because I remember when you first started Jekyll and Hyde. When you started the boys, at the time, Ardrion and Aprillian were in the 25s, I think, the 20s?
Yep.
Yeah, early to mid-20s. And now you've passed them both, so I admire
just
your...
Just a bit.
Yeah.
Oh, you've got. I mean, I consider myself an alcoholic, but you've got a lot more alts than I do.
Yeah.
And I guess I've got the advantage of, you know, having a Shao at 70 and you know, not having to spend time on her to level her up.
Right. But I don't know. I think that I'm having a lot of fun. I don't think that I'm missing out on anything because we've been taking our time. Because I've been taking my time to level. I did feel kind of silly the other day when someone asked me what the difference was between these two pieces of gear, and one that had 16 dodge and one that had 19 dodge, but the 16 dodge also had a defense, an added thing to defense, but, you know, and I really don't pay that much attention to the details.
Right. And what different classes, you know, would benefit from. And even different trees within a class.
Right.
For example, being a warlock, an affliction warlock particularly, I'm doing lots of dots. Stuff that's got plus crit, plus spell crit on it, doesn't really help me all that much. Stuff that does plus spell damage is a lot better for me.
You know, I have to make a confession. I have no idea what crit means. I hear it all the time. I hear somebody going in guild chat going, "Ooh, I just critted 2K," and I go, "Wow, congratulations!" And I have no idea what that means.
Did you ever actually play Dungeons and Dragons?
No, because when Dungeons and Dragons came out and I was in high school, they didn't let girls play.
Oh, you're a girl, of course.
I wanted to play. I actually bought a deck and I'd go in and they'd go, "Okay, well, wait your turn." And, you'd sit there for a while. Then when I was an adult, I actually had roommates who played it, but I got to play one hand.
Well, a crit is basically, it's short for critical. So rather than just your average sort of hit that you do for average sort of damage, you manage to get off a really good hit, and it's does a lot more damage than what your average one does. So there's gear that adds increases the percentage chance that you'll get a critical hit. For example, rogues. If the more they put into agility, if you actually look on your character sheet, there's actually
a crit field.
A field that actually says what your percentage chance is to get a critical hit. So the more crits you can do, basically the faster you're going to kill something because you're doing a lot more damage in a shorter space of time.
Okay.
But for classes like an affliction warlock that's doing dots don't crit.
Okay.
They're just straight damage over time.
So like a gun or arrow crit?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Is it just, okay, and like a dagger or a sword?
Yep.
But a spell cast?
A spell cast can crit, but not an instant cast damage over time, no.
Okay, all right. Thank you for clearing that up for me.
And I think the other thing that a lot of people don't understand is the all the gear that says plus increases damage done by spell up to 20, and they look at that and go, is this thing better than this other thing that I've got that says just plus 10 spell damage, and again the answer is, well, it depends, because the up to 20 means that if you do a long casting spell, and I think it's like 2.5 to 3 seconds,
mm-hmm.
if you cast a spell that takes that long to cast, you get more of, you get that full plus 20. Whereas if you cast a shorter spell that only takes half a second or a second, you get less than that. You only get a percentage of that. So, it's going to depend on what sort of spells that you're casting as to whether that straight out plus 10 or that up to plus 20. Is better off for you.
And everybody casts spells in some way or another, not just priests or warlocks. Even a hunter is casting spells, right?
That's right. Yeah. Well, any mana user. I mean, rogues.
Rogues don't cast spells.
Rogues don't, and warriors don't. I've never played a warrior, so I'm not sure what the equivalent is for warriors.
Oh, you've
and
never
rogues,
played
eh?
A warrior.
Oh, no, never played a warrior. Just all caster classes, basically.
Mm. Now, have you played your rogue much? Because I'm starting to really enjoy this rogue thing.
I did. I did my first Warzone Gulch on the weekend.
Oh, did you? How'd that go?
Yeah, we lost miserably, and I had no idea what I was doing,
and
died a lot.
Right.
But I didn't. I didn't end up down the bottom of the table, so. I mean, he's only 18, he's not 19 yet, and it's quite very obvious that we were up against Alliance Twinks. They're all 19 and all.
And when you're 19, there's more gear, there's a few more pieces of the gear for twinking, right?
Yeah, most of the gear that I've got for the twink I can't wear yet because I'm 18. And, you go in there and all the Alliance gear's glowing brightly. You put on your sunglasses.
Yes, because, those 12, never mind. and when you're hit by a rogue, it looks like it's so easy. You're sitting there, you're aiming for something, you're doing something, and all of a sudden, this guy comes out from over nowhere, and you didn't even see him, and it just looks so easy when you're the victim. But it's really not that easy. it takes some work.
There's a lot of difference in the game between PvE and PvP. I mean, the PvE, you know what mobs are going to do.
Right.
You stand back
Set
and you do
watch.
Damage, and it's just so easy, but... Yeah, PvP, I mean, the people that play PvP all the time, they just get really good at it. And, as a beginning rogue that's trying to do a backstab, it's almost impossible to actually be behind somewhere. You go hit backstab and it comes up, you need to be behind this person. Well, I was, a tenth
Until
of a second
moved,
ago.
Yeah. Now, do you stay in stealth? Because I was trying to stealth around.
Nice.
And I kept, everybody kept leaving me. I'd be stealthing over here, and then everyone was on the other side of Warthorn Gulch by the time I could get up to somebody. But, I did hit some people, and that was very satisfying. And it was a taste of what's to come, right? Don't you think?
That's right. I don't by any stretch of the imagination expect to walk in, as a 19. With all this blue gear and do really well. It's about the player behind it and how much you've practiced, not just the gear you've got.
Right. So I'm going to pause again. We'll be right back. So we went a little bit long on what we've been doing this week, but I hope you've enjoyed it. If you have any questions or you want to comment on what we've been doing or anything that would help us do what we're doing better, or if you want to laugh at me because I didn't know what crit was, you can write us at controlaltwow@gmail.com. That's controlaltwow@gmail.com. Or you can write Asheo at asheo.ww@gmail.com.
That's
Is that
me.
Right?
Yep.
So now for the subject of today's episode, which is, I originally called it fun versus method, or hard casual versus hardcore. I don't know how you want to put it, but I personally play, I think, about 40 hours a week. How about you?
I'd hate to add it up. I don't think it's quite that much, but it's a fair number of hours.
And as you can see, even with the time that I put into it, I'm not hardcore. And I don't know, do you need to be hardcore to enjoy this game?
No way. Of course not. And I think people talk about casual versus hardcore. I mean, there's really several different ways you can look at that. I think the traditional way that people look at it as well, a hardcore player is someone that's raiding, 4, 5, 6, 7 times a week, and they're getting all their tier gear out of instances, and basically that's all they do, or a lot of PvP.
Have you done any of that? Raiding?
Pre-Burning Crusades.
Now, when you get your tier, is it like a reward at the end of a quest, or does it drop off of one of the mobs?
Well, before Burning Crusades, it's drops. So it drops off bosses.
Were they unique drops, or would you get to a boss and then everybody that was there would get the same thing?
Dream on.
Huh?
No. It's that's where you get these stupid random loot tables that what's gonna drop tonight, and everybody goes, oh, it's gonna be the druid gear, and then it'll be warrior gear, and then you work out depending on what your guild loot rules are. You know,
oh,
who's
yeah,
got
the
most DKP, or you know, who's putting the most hours, you know, and deserves it most, and you know, who's going to get it. And
then some kid starts crying. Oh,
yeah, big guild fallouts. And so, yeah, been there, done that.
I've managed to avoid all of that. I just, well, I couldn't.
Right. So when you say, you know, you don't feel like you're missing out on anything by the way you play, I mean, I guess I have to disagree to a point. You are missing out on stuff. I mean,
content.
There's content you're missing out on, and it is a thrill to go into these end game instances and work at figuring out how to down, you know, a boss that is quite difficult. But, you know, there's so much in this game that, you know, you don't have to do that to enjoy it.
Too bad there's not a way where you could, like, take a one-week vacation and say, okay, I want to see this instance and I want to get to this point. But you can't. You have to work over months to get to the point where you can actually do the raid. Right?
Right. Well, that's why they introduced, you know, things like daily quests, you know, so that there's actually content that, you know, in quotes, casual players can do that, where they can work at something, you know, for an hour or two a day, and you know, ultimately get a really nice reward out of it.
But that's at level 70, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. But
you don't need anything leading up to there. Before level 70, all the content is quests and leveling. You know, the Blizzard need to add in stuff for, you know, for level 70s, once you've reached there, and if you're not raiding, then what do you do with your 70?
Yeah, that's true. But for me, you know, like, it's hard enough for me to get enough chunk of time to do the podcast away from, like, my home life. And it's the reason why I ended up with so many alts, and I've explained this before, is that I wanted to go into instances, but I can't go in with a group. I mean, there's so many times, and I think I'm going to write an open letter to my guild about this, because, you know, you hear people looking for aldermen, looking for this. Sometimes people even whisper me, and I just feel so bad, because I can't go into an instance when I know that any minute now I might have to stop.
Right.
You know, the dogs need walking, husband needs attention, this, you know. And you can't, I mean, it's bad enough. I actually, Aunt Rilia right now is dead in Winter Spring. And I haven't had time to get her to run back to her body, you know.
Oh, and, okay.
Yeah, so if you're in a guild and you have to stop because the dog needs attention or whatever, and you're in an instance and you have to stop, you know, you're going to come back to being dead and, you know, everybody else screaming at you.
Yeah.
You know? So to avoid that, I just don't go into instances, but it would be nice if I could, like, take a week's vacation and spend it doing instances, but I have to get up to that
well,
level.
I guess the alternative is to find more people like me that, you know, where you've got, you know, two accounts, and
right.
that could be interrupted at any time, and you know, maybe you can get five of you that go into an instance, and if someone says, oh, oops, sorry, you know, need a 10-minute break, you've got your other account there and in your other window, and okay, no worries, just go off and do some quests in your other window.
Right, yeah.
So it's not like you're sitting there, yeah. The four other people are sitting there twiddling their thumbs waiting for you to come back. They can all go off to their second account and do something else.
Right, yeah. There should be like a special group you could join for people who want to go into instances but have, you know, I can't imagine if I had children what that would be like. That must be amazing. Have you seen the guild that? First episode of Watch the Guild? No? I'll put a link to it in the show notes. They mentioned it on the Guild forum. But it's about these people who, you know, they show all these different people playing in an instance, and they're showing them in the home. They don't actually show it in game. But you can tell that these...
Oh, yes. Oh, I have seen that.
And the guy
turns up at the healer's house and says, yeah, you know me, you res me last week.
That's very
clever.
Yeah, but the one woman who had the two kids, who was on the other side of the, like, she had to divide her up.
Hand off, yeah.
Yeah. that? Wow, that's probably going on in a lot of households. And I mean, I'm sure the kids are fine and taken care of, but it's just got to be kind of a extra stress if you're playing in an instance and you've got kids, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I have kids, and I don't go into instances, you know, if there are kids around, because kids need attention.
Yeah. Even the dogs, you know, I can. I have had instances or situations where I was in the middle of playing and the dogs did something or they needed attention or they start barking. And,
right.
You know, it's really funny when you're on vent and the dogs start barking because it's like all of a sudden all this loud noise in the background. But,
So back on, casual versus hardcore.
Yeah.
I probably consider myself a casual player, so I don't. Yeah, there's no real delineation between how much time you play and what you're doing in the game that there's this concrete rule that says you're casual or hardcore. A couple of quotes I've seen that were funny. A casual player is anybody that plays less than me, and they need to learn to play. And a hardcore player is anyone that plays more than me, and they need to get a life.
Well, and that's the thing, though. Can you be hardcore and have a life? Yeah. But I guess a lot of it, too, isn't so much the time you play, but also the amount of research that you go into and the time you spend examining each spell and figuring out which outfit. And I've cracked the joke before that I just go with what looks better. But I don't spend a lot of time. Sometimes I just go by the armor, you know? And maybe, you know, like if it's one has more intellect than the other, you know. But I don't spend time examining what effect it has, and I suppose that's what a hardcore does. Because I guess if you...
Well, it doesn't really matter until you get to 70. I mean, you know,
really?
It matters some. I mean, as you're leveling, I don't... You know, every time I ding, I don't go out and go, okay, what can I get now that I'm 37? You know, I've still got gear that's, you know, 4 or 5 levels below my current level.
Right.
It's really not worth spending, you know, time, money, and effort on you know, gearing up characters until they get to 70. You know? Then start looking around for how you want to do an upgrade.
I guess I'll have to wait to see. Of course, by the time I get to 70, because I just dinged 60. Which is funny because...
You're not that far away from 70 then.
Yeah, but that's funny because, you know, not too long ago that would have been the level cap. And by the time she gets to 70, of course, the Lynchkin will be out. Lynchkin.
Nah, you'll get there before then.
So, if you have an opinion on casual and hard and what you think, because, you know, I don't want to say fun versus method, because I'm sure even hardcore playing is fun, right?
Well, I guess I'm coming from a guild that, you know, raided a lot. You know, it's a lot more, it's fun, but it's also more stressful. I guess it's the same as, you know, the same argument for people wanting to be officers in guilds. You come to a game to have fun, and you know there's some people that want
to
be an officer, lo and behold, it turns into work, and you know they don't enjoy it as much anymore. So
right.
I think, you know, it's a game, and you need to do what you think is fun. And if that means, you know, be hardcore and raid, then do that. Yeah. If it means be an alcoholic and take 4 years to get to level 70, then do that too.
Because I am having lots of fun. I never get into the game and say I'm bored. And I'm always amazed.
That amazes me, yeah. people in guild chat or whatever are saying, oh, I'm bored. And I'm like, well... Yeah, this is a game. This is where you come to have fun. Yeah, if you're in the game and you're bored, then get out of the game and go and do something.
Right.
It's, I've never reached that point yet.
So I think we've had a pretty good show. I want to thank Shale for joining us and hope.
No, thanks for inviting me.
Grandpa is enjoying his vacation, and we miss him. But Shale, you came through, and we're gonna play your episode 5 of Dual Boxing.
Yep.
You're doing an excellent job with that, because you know, dual boxing.
Oh, fun. They're fun to make.
Yes, and I'm glad that you're enjoying it as much as I am. And I guess we'll be signing off for now.
Okay. Thanks again.
Yep.
See you
for
later.
The horde.
Hello, I'm Jekyll.
And me, Hyde.
And we're here today to talk about...
Hey! What are you two up to? Give me that. Tim, can't leave those two alone for 5 seconds. Greetings, adventurers. Asheo from Alea Eacta Est on Earthen Ring with some more fun with dual boxing. This week, I've got some suggestions on what you can do with your two accounts besides having two characters fighting side by side. For example, if you're in an instance, you're probably only taking one turn, and you'll want to do something with your other account while you're in there. So here's my top 5 things to do with that second account.
Number 5.
Auction house. Browse the auction house looking for bargains. Or better yet, load auctioneer and bottom scanner and make yourself some gold. Or post those 7 pages of items you've mailed your auction house alt.
Number 4.
Fish. Fishing has got to be the most boring and slowest profession to level because it takes so long per point. At least with other professions, you can accumulate mats and level in bursts. So while other people are drinking, eating, and rezzing in an instance, I fish. Nice way to break the monotony of it too. Or, if you're an enchanter, stand around in William Shatner City and spruik your wares.
Number 3.
Guild chat. If you're like me and have several alts, there's a good chance that you won't have all of them in the same guild. Maybe there's a limit on the number of alts in a guild, or you have your own bank alt guild. So, while you're grinding away on an alt, you can still participate in guild chat on the other account. And fish.
Number 2.
Practice dueling. Maybe not one of those 3-hour epic paladin versus paladin fights, but nice quick ones to practice your moves. And if you use both accounts, duel each other. Okay, unless you're truly schizo, you'll probably see that backstab coming. But what I mean is you have an entirely placid and willing combatant to try various moves and combinations on. Try mixing up your usual attack sequence and see if there's a better way to kill an opponent.
Number 1.
This one requires both accounts, and that is moving items between Horde and Alliance. There's several reasons why you might want to do this, but for me, it's about selling items on the auction house because of higher demand. This is easier to do if you have an Alliance main, but also fairly easy with Horde mains. Basically, you want to get an alt on the second account and of the opposing faction to a neutral auction house. For a low-level Horde, it's easy. Walk to Ratchet and catch a boat to Booty Bay. For a low-level Alliance, it's a bit trickier and time-consuming. But the easiest way I found was to start a Night Elf Rogue, level it to 2, train in stealth, and then head off for boat rides to Menthol Harbour and then on to Theramore Isle. From there, run north until you spot Murlocs, head out into the water, and stealth around the islands. At about 3/4 of the way to Ratchet, it's easier just to die and take a res in Ratchet, then catch the boat to Booty Bay. Next, create another alt, also on the second account, end of the opposing faction, and run it to the nearest main city. For example, I made a human and ran it to Stormwind. Next, you need some gold. So on your Booty Bay alt, post some low-level food on the auction house for, say, 100 gold, and buy it on your main. You'll lose 15%, but that's the price you've got to pay. Next, have your main auction the item you actually want to transfer, and set it for something low, like 1 silver. But make sure you have your Booty Bay alt with the auction house window open and ready to search and bid before someone else grabs a bargain. That's it. Now you can mail the item to your Stormwind alt and post in the Alliance auction house. Until next time, farewell, adventurers.
It's been real. May you always be victorious.
May the gates of Quel'Thalas be open to you. Always.
May our paths cross again.
Catch you later.
Al'dir Shalah.
Go in peace.